Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ.
This week on the At the Table podcast, I'm going to look back at Acts chapter 8 and some of the lessons learned about authentic ministry, as well as reflecting on the recent announcement by Philip Yancey. Without further ado, let's jump right in. Well, hello and welcome to the At the Table podcast. This is Pastor Gary, and today I'm just going to do a couple of things. I'm going to look back at my message from last week, specifically reflecting on some of our takeaways about authentic ministry versus a phony ministry. And then I'm going to just give some brief thoughts about and reflect on the recent announcement that Philip Yancey and his fall from grace. But let's jump into Acts chapter 8. If you're not familiar, I would encourage you to pick up your Bible and read Acts chapter 8. In this chapter, we meet a man named Philip. Philip is one of the early church elders, if you will, deacons. He would have been someone that was commissioned to go and tell. And early in the book of Acts chapter 8, and at the very end of Acts chapter 7, we see that because of great persecution, many believers were scattered to Judea and Samaria. And Philip was one that went to Samaria. And Philip went and preached the gospel. That's what he did. That's what a witness is. In Acts 1:8, it tells them to be a witness, which is actually, interestingly, the original Greek word also translates to martyr, to witness unto death later in the book of Acts, or actually in chapter 7, excuse me. But to be a witness, to take the message of the gospel. At the end of my message, what I did is I started to share a few things that we could pull from this passage, because not only was Philip there proclaiming the gospel, there was another man by the name of Simon that initially appeared to be following the gospel, but as we saw his heart revealed later in the passage, it really seemed was he was not seeking the gospel. He was seeking his own personal influence, if you will. And this kind of led me to a book by Chuck Swindoll and his commentary on the book of Acts. And there was a few things that jumped out, not only that I saw, but I pulled from this commentary as well. So these are not all original to me. But the first thing was a comparison of authentic ministry. So in an authentic ministry, we see the main point is that Jesus is centric. And this sounds like, well, duh, but sometimes this is a red flag that we can see if we're paying attention. Now, ministries might not come out and say that they're not Jesus-centric, but if you listen to who they are, about them, or what they believe, you start to see how significantly they take the word of God and therefore the message of the gospel that goes throughout the entire Bible. And so authentic ministries will be Jesus-centric. The second thing is they will exhibit dynamic, liberating power. In other words, I call this extreme freedom. And what I mean by that is that lives are changed by the resurrection power. People that come in contact with an authentic ministry, their lives change because they're drawn to the person of Jesus, and Jesus saves them, and because of that, they change. And the third thing is there's an element of contagious joy, almost a rejoicing at the freedom. And this is definitely true and seen throughout the apostles and the followers of Jesus out throughout the entire Bible. But specifically in our day, in authentic ministry, you'll see a Jesus-centric model, extreme liberating power or freedom, lives changed, and you'll see a contagious joy. Now, on the flip side of that, a phony ministry, or one that should get you nervous about following, is that one that exalts, instead of Jesus, exalts a person, leader, or self. We see that in this encounter between Philip and Simon. If you read Acts chapter 8, Simon was about himself, and he wanted to have what others had, and he was missing the point. Now, a side note that I made in the message was this can be seen in prominent leaders that fall from the faith as well, people that take a step outside of the bounds of their authority or have an affair or something to that that disqualifies them from service, because ultimately they're exalting themselves. And this is really a scary thing, because it's kind of a slow morphing sometimes, but more and more a phony ministry will exalt a person or leader rather than Jesus, even if it's subtly. The second is that in a phony ministry, it draws a following and promises to solve temporal problems. If you read Acts 8, you'll see that Simon did these sorcery-type things, and so we're not entirely clear what that is, but it does appear like there's some demonic involvement and supernatural things happening outside the will of, or outside of the hand of God, and so we wonder about that. So this, they might exalt the leader, they might draw from a following based on promises made. They might also exercise counterfeit power, which was seen here in Simon in Acts chapter 8. But they also, here's another key one, preoccupied with material things. See, Simon in that account wanted to have the gift of being able to bestow the Holy Spirit on other people. And we realize that if you read that passage, not even John and Peter, who were mentioned there as being a major part of this story towards the end, they weren't the ones. They just prayed, but the Holy Spirit was received. It can only be given by God. And so there was this preoccupation with material things, wanting to have prestige or power. So what do we take away from this? Well, I think as followers of Jesus, what I'm seeing more and more in this American culture is that the church is becoming just like the world, the culture. They want to emulate and be a better version of the culture. And by church, I mean like the Big C church. As a whole, there's a lot of ministries that might fall under this. But I will say that there's also tons of faithful pastors and leaders leading local churches as well. I can think of several in our area, in this Alliance, Ohio area, where God is working powerfully through faithful men seeking to serve God and serve people and love them well. But we do see this element, we see kind of as a mega church or these big ministries that have a leader that's elevated up above and kind of the face and the brand of that industry or that ministry, and invariably leads to a moral failure in some capacity. Some of these we've found out after people have passed. I think of Ravi Zacharias, some of like Tony Evans recently, some big time heavy hitters that had these experiences or sin that caused them to fall from grace. I think of even, you know, in the music industry, most recently of Michael Tate had this habitual problem and sin that led him to really be this false example. He was living a double life, lukewarm at best. And then today, this week, I should say, there was the announcement by Philip Yancey, who's written dozens of, maybe hundreds of books, I'm not sure. He's been on in the ministry world for a long, long time, married to his wife for, I think, over 50 years. I can remember going to Geneva College, and we read the book, What's So Amazing About Grace, very powerful, impactful book. But then we read that he comes out, and he admits to having an affair with another married woman. And here's the astounding part, is that he admits to an 8-year affair. And my jaw drops for so many reasons. Now, personally, on a side note, I have witnessed from afar Philip Yancey kind of deviate away from traditional biblical theology, whether it's in regards to God's sovereignty or whether it's in regards to the LGBTQ stuff or marriage or anything like that. He's deviated away from the biblical created order and several things. So it wasn't really that surprising that he fell. But what was so astonishing to me is that he came on record as having an 8-year affair. This wasn't a one-time thing. This was a rejection of all things that God, a lot of things God had laid out in front of him. And listen, I am not doing this to bash Philip Yancey. I'm just pointing out that as we look at Acts chapter 8 and we learn these truths of how we can spot ministries and be on the lookout, it's not that we should question everybody, but in a sense it is. Is the ministry following God's prescription in His Word? If they're teaching anything outside of that, red flags should go up and we should avoid those ministries. Maybe if it's a local church that you're involved with, there's a level of responsibility that you should engage. You know, Matthew 18, you take the problem to the individual, you talk to the elder board or the board of the church, and then at that point you may just need to walk away. But in a situation like this, we see that we need to be on the lookout of what we're allowing into our sphere of influence, what we're allowing, what voices are we listening to, and are we checking them against this message? And can I tell you that as a pastor, having a moral failure of that level or any level is one of my greatest fears. Not that I'm like, oh, I think I'm on the verge of it happening, but that I would never want something to like that to be a part of my ministry in the sense that I would cause other people to stumble, fall away, or run away from God, whether it's my wife or it would be my kids or whether it be the church that I'm a pastor of or the ministries that I'm involved with locally. I never want my name to ever be a disqualifying factor. And I realize that God's message will get out and God is going to be God, but the effects that decisions that I make do carry with it a responsibility, and they do have an impact on those people I come in contact with. So I take things very seriously. So here's something I want to share with you. All of that to say, here's a couple of takeaways for me. Since I've become a pastor full-time, I have been huge, very intentional about creating accountability, boundaries, and patterns that I follow to help keep me on the straight and narrow. One of the biggest ones is accountability partners. I have several men that I meet with regularly or semi-regularly, and I have given them permission to ask those questions, the tough questions. How are you really doing? How's your marriage? How is your spiritual walk? Is there any sins you're struggling with? Things like that. I have a good friend that I meet with once a month virtually who lives in Buffalo, and we've been best friends since college. It's been 30 years now, which I can't believe, by the way, since we first met. We talk regularly and we ask the tough questions and are there for and pray for one another. I have another pastor locally that I meet with a couple times a month face to face to have those questions, to have those conversations to help build accountability. We have things on our system like Covenant Eyes and all of my personal equipment and things like that to help keep me accountable for what I'm watching and looking at on the internet, to prevent me, to put roadblocks in place to help prevent me from doing anything stupid. I have a friend that's just outside of ministry that we've just been friends with again for 30 years that I'm willing to share with. I have an elder board that oversees me and that I report to directly, that I try, that they're my, you know, theological, church level, people level accountability. So there's these various levels. You know, why do you need so many, Gary? Well, because I'm a sinful human being. I realize, but by the grace of God, go I. I am just as capable of committing any sin that any other leader has done, fallen from grace. And what's reality is the more impactful, or the more things that are happening for the kingdom, and the more things that Jesus are being given the glory for, such as baptisms and new memberships and people coming to know Jesus personally as a Savior through the ministries that I'm involved with, that puts a bigger target on me. And I have a responsibility according to Scripture to do that. So here's my marching orders for you, especially men, but all people: have accountability. Have people in your life that have permission to ask you questions that other people wouldn't, that they can look at your internet search history. They can do all of these things that to help create a level of accountability. People that we would call battle buddies. I have a recent connection to a friend of mine that I had met maybe 5 years ago, and we've been, you know, friends on and off, and he's since retired from being a pastor, and I'm starting to try to meet with him regularly, kind of to keep me in check theologically and bounce ideas off of and all that. And so this is just another layer of that, and I encourage you strongly, create accountability in your life and be on the lookout for these red flags that were mentioned in Acts chapter 8, because when you see them in ministry, you should go, whoa, wait a minute, stop. I need to back up here. What you're saying doesn't match with what God's word says. And that's the key here, is I want you all to be students of God's word. Be in it, understand it. God's word is helpful for rebuking, for teaching, for correcting, for all those things. We need to be in it and understand it to the best of our ability, to study it, to submit to it, to surrender to it, and to be on the lookout for ministries in our sphere of influence that maybe are not feeding into that correctly. So maybe today what you need to do is do a hard look at some of your social media contacts. Maybe you need to review those and see what is on the feeds of things that I'm looking at. What authors am I reading? What churches am I watching the message from? Do a deep dive on their theology. Study them, because the things that go into your brain are going to affect how your ministry and how your life is shaped. And we have a responsibility as followers of Jesus to live and be a part of authentic ministries where Jesus is center, where we, where Jesus is centric, where we, the ministries we're involved with have power and they bring a resurrection power that sees freedom in people's lives and where we live a contagious, joyful life. Because see, if when we rejoice in the freedom that Christ gives us, it changes everything and we start to see things differently. Well, I hope this message has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And until next time, everybody, have a great day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.